right, let's go, let's go. Everybody, hello and welcome to We Synced It. Yes, it's a weekly podcast that focuses on all the movies, TV, and entertainment in between. I am one of your hosts, Pat.
And this is Kev.
And how is everybody doing on this Easter Sunday week? Thank you. Far too kind. He has risen. We're talking about the lead, the King of all kings, the Son of God, the first zombie known to man to be written in a book for Medium, so anybody could read. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the first zombie of this new world that we call, planet Earth. Oh, man. So I hope everybody's having fun digging up, eggs. I don't know what people do Easter Sunday anymore. I hope they dress to the nines, you know, your Sunday best. Hope people are doing that. And yeah, man.
What better way to celebrate Easter than talk about those that we love coming back from the dead,
yes,
to rise again?
Amen. Amen. God is good all the time.
So in this episode, we're going to begin with Ghostbusters review. And yes, then we're going to get into slasher killers getting their own TV series. Mm-hmm. And then the best zombie movies and movies that technically should be considered zombie movies.
This is like a Halloween episode, to be honest with you. Because usually we talk about this shit during Halloween, but it just feels right to talk about it on a day that people are celebrating somebody rising up from the dead.
This is crazy because we've never been more Halloween, even on a Halloween episode than this.
Nah, we researched a lot on this, and it was fun. It was like a lot of fun. We wanted so bad to put The Passion of the Christ on this fucking list, but we couldn't because it's like, damn, he didn't rise up in the movie. He didn't rise up, and I realized that I'd never seen the movie before. I never saw it. I might try to watch it.
It's a hard watch.
It's a hard watch. I get it. I see it. I haven't seen The Passion of the Christ, but I've seen other movies. I've seen other movies telling of Jesus Christ's life that also include the resurrection. But I'm shocked that they didn't have that in the movie. But did they have the devil in the movie or no?
They show it in the form of a snake, I believe, in the movie. There's a part where there's like a talking snake or something. But I think he's having like he's going delusional or something. Oh, dare I say delusional? That he went delusional. I think it's a hard watch because Jim Caviezel plays the main character, and we all saw him go a little crazy not too long ago, talking about baby's blood being sucked to rejuvenate Hollywood and stuff. So after hearing all of that, if you go and watch the movie, I think it's probably going to be a little bit more disturbing to watch.
Yeah.
And then the story is about, you know, him getting struck by lightning on set and all that stuff.
Did that really happen?
There's a story. I don't know how accurate the story is, that supposedly he was struck by lightning while they were filming.
It was probably a 12K that went out and people thought it was a fucking...
it was a loose cable. There was mud. That's all it was. You know,
it was probably pop, and it was like, oh shit, was that lightning? Nah, it wasn't. And people just ran with it that it was lightning. That's one thing about like religious stories. It especially when it happens, like if you're in church, it seems like if you tell somebody that no, it didn't happen, they're gonna lie and tell people that it did happen, and people are automatically just gonna go with that story. And it's oof. It just takes a lot more power to get the truth out than it does just to get some type of cool story out. You know what I mean? A lot more people are willing to go with a lie that sounds cooler than go with the actual truth.
Yeah. So last week, we talked about our expectations and what we wanted to see in the new Ghostbusters film. We went, we saw it. Pat, what'd you think?
I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I didn't think it was the worst movie, but it had its moments. I think they could have shortened it like 30 minutes. But on the first watch, I thought it would have added more new traps or new tools. They did show us like they did show us the little go-kart and stuff like that, and the drone and stuff. That was dope. And the new packs, but I thought they were gonna have more than just the pack that you just punch ghosts. That was the only one that I was like, come on now. They don't have nothing that looks like a pistol or something like that. In the show, the cartoon show, they had like a Ghostbuster pack that was an actual like two pistols that one of the Ghostbusters had. I think it was the lady Ghostbuster, and it was one of the dopest shits I've seen when I was a little kid. Not sure if that show, I don't think that show is still around, but it was like one of the dopest things, and they didn't. But what you thought?
I agree that I don't think it's the worst one, I don't think it's definitely not the best one. Mm-hmm. I think the last movie had more heart than this one. It was definitely more of an emotional roller coaster. This one, I was under the impression that now that they're established and they got the firehouse back and all that there was going to be more ghost busting.
Yeah.
It's just that opening scene that you see them ghost busting. After that, it's just like it's a young girl pouting. Yeah, because
it was a prep. They were fucking prepping for the final boss kind of thing. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, I would have loved to see them like, oh, Ghostbusters is open. We're working full time. You know, we're running on fumes, and then this happens, and they gotta like kind of restructure their approach to the situation. I get, you know, the all the nostalgia in the movie. I just felt like the first one already had so much nostalgia hitting us that the second one, it just, like when they show Bill Murray's character, it wasn't even like a big response from the crowd. Like everyone was expecting that. Everyone already knew that it was going to happen. I do, however, think this movie is still better than the Answer the Call Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even putting that in the running. Not saying that any of those actors, I think they could have been in this movie, and they wouldn't have made it worse. It would have just been the same thing. But the main actress, she was doing a lot of pouting. She was it just felt like she was not understanding at all. not at all. And another thing that was crazy about the movie was that. So you're telling me that the kids from part one, who, by the way, I didn't know that they were going to be in the second one because, you know, I tried to, like, limit how many times I've seen the trailer or watch any new trailers for the movie. I did not know that they were going to be in New York. And it was just odd to me that each of them had, like, an internship or they were lying about, like, the one podcasting dude who was lying about going to space camp and stuff like that. It was just like, they could have just hired like new actors, but I guess they wanted to keep the gang together, which I understand 100% because a good crew is a good crew. So that was just it was just a little far fetched. And on top of that, I don't know, the whole thing about the pouting thing. Yeah, it did hit me. It was like, why are you so sad all the time? There's no reason for you to be a Ghostbuster and be this sad. They say that you can't Ghostbust. Just hit the table for like 2 years, whatever, and Ghostbust on your side gigs. Nobody's gonna be watching you. The city's not gonna be watching you like that. You can Ghostbust, and it just felt weird.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying about the kids, how do you end up in New York? Like, how'd you get to New York if you were telling your parents you're going to space camp? Yeah. Not unless there is a space camp in New York. Mm-hmm. I would have assumed it was going to be in Florida. But,
and on top of that, like, oh, man, it's just weird. It just seems like they just filled in the kids to say that, yeah, we got to have the same people. And then they just filled in the kids by just putting, like, post-it notes on the wall and just be like, yep, Space Camp. This one, she's doing an internship, but she's also making ghost traps over here. What else we got going over here? Just have her just sad. She's going to be sad throughout the whole movie because everybody liked when she was sad in the first movie because she lost her her grandfather, by the way, who she really wasn't really connected to. But her mom said that, you remind me of my dad. So then she thought that she can connect with her grandfather. So we'll let that thing go. And it was just like, she doesn't got to be sad. I want her to be happy sometimes. And it seemed like the only time that she was ever happy is when she was talking to that ghost. Well, I hope she knows that in Ghostbuster lore, ghosts are sometimes rapists too. You got to ask, the, what's the guy, Vickman?
Ray.
You got to ask Ray. He got touched inside of a secure firehouse that where the ghosts are being busted in. They got him. They took off his pants and while he was sleeping.
And he didn't give consent.
No consent was given. He rolled his eyes and he passed out. Was it out of excitement? I don't know. It seemed like it was out of fear. Did he wake up in the morning crying in the shower? Possibly. I would have. How are you going to explain that to somebody? I got touched by a ghost. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to feel about this. It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things. So she got to watch out with these ghosts. Especially if that one had a freaking fire starter. Oh, man.
That was I thought that was a weird detail in the story. Yeah. It got, like, really goofy at that point.
The way that I thought the movie was going to go, it totally didn't go that way.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain things that were like, oh, okay, so he's recording the audio. So that ghost that takes over inanimate objects is going to take that recording and just play it. No, that's not what happened. So I was like, all right, cool. She had the little fire thing, and I'm thinking that, okay, she has this fire thing. Maybe she's going to be the fire starter. Then you find out that, no, it was Kim Young Johnny. Is that his name?
Kamel
Young Johnny. Like, he was the fire guy, and he just needed, like, a torch to get things popping. So I was like, okay, cool. I have to admit, I do like that whole little thing about the fact that different ghosts in different areas, like, different areas around the world, that they have, like, different methods of capturing ghosts. And the way that we pseudo-do it in the United States or maybe in the Northeast is not the way that they do it, like in Asia, and I do like that. I do see that can possibly be a thing if they're going to do this Ghostbusters Co. Like if they were to go to New Orleans, right, and they see people who do like voodoo and stuff like that, that could possibly be a way of them catching ghosts over there. So it'd be a lot more like voodoo. Infused kind of like spell, like more spells rather than technology kind of thing. And, you know, shit, why don't they even throw in the fucking the boys from Supernatural in there? The Winchesters. Throw them boys in there. Let's have fun with it.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Just throw them, throw everybody in there. Because I just like it. I like the fact that it's like, oh, it's all about like different people. So they can have like, you know, like in firehouses, they have people who are just roamers who yeah. just go to different firehouses. So they can have somebody who's like, yeah, I just go to different codes just to cover people's backs if they have like a different type of ghost that they've never met before. So, you know, I have a suitcase full of like, I have rock salt. I have, you just see him go down the list of all these things that he have, but you see the Book of the Dead from Evil Dead there, and he never mentions it. You just see in the background, I have this, I got that, I got this right there, and it's just in the background. I think it would be fucking dope.
And I would love, like, to see, like, from those Ghost Hunter shows, and, like, they're, like, the posers.
Yes.
And the Ghostbusters, like, hate them because it's like, nah, dude, you're proving to everyone that we're fake and we're not. Yeah. Like, you know, you're messing our business up.
That'd be a good show.
That would be a good plot point.
Hell yeah.
Because it's kind of like the last Spider-Man movie with Mysterio or the one before last, where it was like he wasn't a real superhero. He was just using illusions to make people think he was a superhero. So it was like these ghost hunters are doing all this fake shit to make people think that it's real, but it's not. And it's like Ghostbusters are like, yo, that's what happened to us in the first two movies. Like, people didn't believe us because of you, because of people like you and shit.
Yeah. And that's another thing about this movie. I did not like the fact that, like, I didn't like the fact that that happened in the first movie, in the first remake that took place in 2020, where they basically just shooed all the stuff that took place in the 80s. Like, they were like, yeah, you know, some stuff happened, but then it started to die down, and, you know, people just forgot about it. To me, I was like, damn, dude.
Statue of Liberty just walked through the whole city, and
the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man basically just oozed all over, like, downtown New York, and people just forgot about that? I would not be forgetting about that. I would be scared to go outside. I would never eat marshmallows again, but yet these Stay Puft Marshmallows are still around. They're still around. They're smaller, but they're still fucking around. And they're more aggressive, too. Like, they try to bite you. I know it has to be cute, the way that they bite you, but it's still, like, these things are really fucking aggressive and shit.
I didn't know marshmallows could be so sharp.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know they could hurt. So out of, let's say, out of five ghost traps, what would you give it?
I'll give it two. Rewatchability? What would you give? What would you give the rewatchability and the out of five ghost traps? What would you give it?
I think overall, I agree. I would give it two. Rewatchability? I don't know if I could. I think the first one, the one before this one, had more rewatchability than this one.
Yeah, because we did watch it before the movie. When we went to go buy some pizza.
Yeah,
it was playing on at the pizza spot. And I was like, yeah, this is a good rewatchability. Damn. Yeah, I don't know. It has a scene, but I'll watch, like, clips of it, but I don't know if I'll watch the whole thing straight through. Maybe, it, like, while I'm doing, like, you know, like, working, or if I'm, like, gaming or something like that. To have in the background, I can definitely see that thing being on. But to, like, go out of my way to watch it? Nah. Unless I'm going to watch it with somebody who's never watched it before. And I'll be like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. But, yeah, I mean, that's that Ghostbusters, man.
And then next up, so all these slasher killers from the 80s seem to all be getting their own series. Jason is getting a Camp Crystal Lake series that is coming to Peacock?
Yeah, Peacock. They're starting to film in summer of 2024.
And then Michael Myers, I know that the Miramax bought the rights to Michael Myers, and it looks like a show is being greenlit as well. What network, what streaming service? That hasn't been revealed yet, but what do you feel about all these slashers getting their own TV series?
As a fan of horror movies, I'm into it, but I am scared because it's been told, like, we've seen it before that, you know, people try to tell their rendition of a cult classic or a story that's just been told, and people have followed these things through and through. I mean, shit, I'm not wearing that shirt. I was going to wear a Camp Crystal Lake shirt, but I'm not wearing it. But, and, you know, there's merchandise for it, and there's everything for it. And then you see that there's these new writers who are like, you know, I want to tell this story like Romeo and Juliet. I'm a fan of Shakespeare, not really a fan of Wes Craven. So, yeah, I'm just going to tell the story the way that I want to. And you ask them, wait, have you read any of the original stuff? Have you seen any of the original movies? Nah, that's not my stuff. That's not my bag. I really don't watch that kind of stuff. And then they just go on and just ruin the show itself, or just ruin the IP in total. And then, you know, people just stay away from it, because every time you bring it back up, people are remembering the latest thing that came out, not the one that came out like years ago, the good one. And that's the only thing that scares me about that. What about you, man?
Well, I go back to the Chucky series that came out on USA and Sci-Fi. Mm-hmm. Don Mancini, who created the actual Chucky and the show, and was part of the first three films. One thing that he did really great was he understands that there were different crowds. If you look at the first Chucky movies, they were suspenseful. It was like very horror, very slasher, and it had its crowd. Then when it came to Bride of Chucky, it evolved and became more comedic. And there was like a different crowd that liked this one. But the first crowd was like, nah, bring it back to the original. And then he did Curse of Chucky and I forgot the Cult of Chucky. And he brought it back to the original, but brought elements of comedy into it, too. It looks like the TV series is basically a sum of all of that. Like, it has its horror elements. It has its comedic elements. They added, Tiffany, the bride and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was like he's appealing to all crowds. And yet, it's not too ridiculous, like Bride of Chucky. But at the same time, it's not 100% serious like the first one. So it's like, dude, he's keeping it so well balanced. And that's the reason why the show did well. A lot of people were doubting that the show was going to do well and that it was going to get canceled early on. And no, he, I think so far has already done two seasons.
Yeah.
I think another season has been greenlit. So I think with Jason, with Michael Myers, 100% you can make a series, but just make sure that it's well balanced. Don't go too goofy, but at the same time, don't go too serious. Just make it fully entertaining. I'm very interested about the Halloween series because I wonder if it's going to be like the show 24 where the whole season takes place on that one night. So it's like each hour of that one Halloween night.
Yeah.
That'll be like really cool.
Yeah.
With Camp Crystal Lake, I would love to see like that kind of like from the Friday the 13th game, that isolation and like that feeling of like you're running, but you know he's like right behind you type of thing. That would be like really cool. Because that game, I think that game was like really successful and got the point of what makes Jason terrifying. The fact that like you're isolated in a forest, he's going to be around every corner. It's going to happen no matter what. Like they definitely need to bring that back. So very interested to see. I think horror movies can make great series.
Yeah.
You just got to know exactly who you're like directing the energy to, like what crowd, and can you stay consistent throughout the series? Like what has been like a really good horror series or slasher series? Like I thought the Psycho Bates Motel did a pretty good job.
I only seen two episodes of that, and I really enjoyed that one. I was gonna say Hannibal.
Oh yeah, Hannibal for sure.
Was like by far like one of the best. Well, it's not really a slasher, but it is because he was slashing these motherfuckers up and feeding it to people. So it was really good. Did it win an Emmy? Did it?
I don't think it got the recognition that it deserved.
Yeah, because I think that it got popular as soon as it went on streamers. But yeah, that was a good one. What was another? Some people said that the Scream one that was on MTV, that one's pretty good. That was that was the thing that revitalized the whole Scream series to go to movies.
Yeah.
Didn't they have some of the characters from the Scream show on the movies?
It got weird. I know there was some legal trouble first it was on MTV. They brought the show back, but they had to change the mask for trademark reasons. Someone owned the rights and didn't give away the rights for the show, and it was really weird. The tone of the show was also a little bit different. Then, for some odd reason, it switched over to VH1, and when the show switched over to VH1, they were able to bring back the original mask, and then they just continued. I saw that first season that was on MTV, and dude, it was enjoyable. It was like watching the movie. Like it was, they're gonna show you this whole cast of characters. You are gonna make an attempt to find out who done it, who's the killer, and then it's always the person that you least expect. I will say though, the series ended with I think the most gruesome death in any Scream piece of media, like whether movie or television show. Like there's one character that gets a death that I was like actually shocked. I was like, whoa. Because usually the killer in Scream has a knife and just stabs people or strangles them.
Just shoot them right there.
But this one had something to do with like a saw, like cutting someone in half like that, like clean. I was just like, what the fuck? This is Scream. Like,
really?
Yeah. It was actually pretty gory. Like it was, yeah, it was just like slowly like that. Oh. And I'm like, dude, how is this on television? Like, how did this get approved?
I gotta
like,
see that.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like one of the most gruesome kills. And speaking of Scream, they're already working on the next sequel, and they are bringing back Neve Campbell and the woman from Friends.
Yeah,
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox. She's in talks, but it's funny because, oh my God, I forgot their names. The ones that were previously
going to be Jenna Ortega and the other young lady that. Like, it was crazy because Neve Campbell was like, no, I'm not part of the series anymore because you guys don't want to pay me what I deserve.
Yeah.
And then the other girl made a comment about what's going on in the Middle East, and so they booted her off. And now they went back and said, Hey, Neve,
what's up,
girl? Going back to that, your pay that you were talking about, what if we offered you this? And she said, all right, fine, I'll
go back.
What's
that shit that the kid, Gen Z, said? Hey, twin. That shit is funny, man.
Yo, but do you think that all of this is going to kill the franchise?
Because
I don't think I'm going to be able to take the movie seriously.
No, I'm not going to be able to take it seriously either. But, I mean, they lost the director. They lost the two main talent. And they just picked up the ones that were previously the previously two leads. And it just seems like they're in damage control. And they're just trying to go, we're just going to go full-blown nostalgia on this one. And I think that's going to be a fucking mistake. Whatever they do, because the movie's already nostalgia. It's in the fucking nostalgia sandwich. But I think they're going to double down, and they're going to put more bread than they're going to put meat in this shit. So.
And they already did the whole nostalgia sandwich. Yeah. In the last one that Neve Campbell was in, it's just a guy that's infatuated with everything that happened in the previous movies. Yeah. And like they already did that.
Again. They're most definitely going to do it again. Just they're going to go for numbers. They're going to be like, we're just going to go off of the energy that it has, and people are going to want to see this. And that first week, it's probably going to do good. Maybe it's going to get like 10 million, maybe like 20 million on that Thursday. Then it's going to get like 90 million for the weekend. And then that following week, it's going to fucking drop. It's going to drop. Because Jenna Ortega, I agree with her 100%. Things that are going on in the Middle East and in the Gaza Strip. And they saw what she said, and they were like, nah, we ain't having that shit. And they booted her. Even though they were trying to, another thing, they were trying to go in damage control on that shit, and it did not work. It did not work at all. But yeah, man. I am not a fan of that stuff. I'm not a fan of it. Oh, I got a question that just came up to me right now. Do you think in our lifetime that we're ever going to see a slasher or horror movie win an Oscar?
Well,
there's only been 6 horror movies that's ever got nominated for an Oscar.
But I think Silence of the Lambs actually won Best Picture. I think that's like in history the only horror movie that ever won.
Yeah, one successful Golden Statue despite the general lack of knowledge for the genre. Yeah.
I do think so. I think superhero movies being nominated for Oscars is like...
It's a gate.
It's opening up. Yeah, it's opening up. I think that's really what it is. And hopefully, man, I do think...
These horror movies are getting good, too.
Yeah. And Christopher Nolan said he would love to direct a horror movie.
You think he's going to be the first one?
That would be interesting.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know what type of time horror movie he's going to make that has something to do with a watch or something. Maybe.
With epic landscapes.
With epic landscapes and probably building's going to blow up. And it's not going to be miniature. It's going to be a full-blown building. And it's going to constantly blow up. Just going to be stuck in a time loop, maybe. But I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to get it. And I most definitely believe that we're going to get, like, an an action movie that's going to win an Oscar too.
I don't think he would ever do a slasher movie. It would be...
What, Christopher Nolan?
Yeah. It would probably be something supernatural, something otherworldly, something on a, like on the scale of like The Exorcist or something.
Yeah. Yeah, those are... Yeah.
Or like The Shining.
Yeah, that's all we're going to get. Yeah, okay. I can see that. I could definitely see that. Yeah, because, but he loves, it's crazy that he likes junk food movies, man. He likes oversaturated movies. Like the, what's that, when you, I think you were the one who showed me the video about Fast and the Furious, and I was like.
And he knew about the franchise, like he understood
the sequence. Yeah, he knew this shit. Here's the funny thing about all these people who are like, you know, there's a lot of like people in America who, like, when you say, oh, what's your favorite movie? They're going to say a movie from, like, another country.
Really pretentious.
Yeah, real pretentious, that's at the bottom of the bin that you've never heard about, you can barely pronounce, and if you do, you're going to spit on somebody just for pronouncing it. And they just love that shit, right? And what happened when they spoke to the creators of Godzilla Minus One? What was their favorite movies?
Bro, they were saying movies like, I think it was like Terminator, Alien, like it was...
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, yeah.
I was like, fuck right. You're fucking right, yeah. Yeah, I love that shit because every time I start to say that, oh, what's your favorite movie? And I just riddle off like fucking American movies. I see people go, you know, you hear that.
Typical. Well,
you never see... You never seen that movie? Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You never seen that French movie? You never seen that shit? Wow. You need to be cultured, bitch. Have you ever seen Jurassic Park in a car while it was raining? And that scene where they're in the car while it's raining? Have you ever seen that shit? Nah, you ain't enjoying the movie until you see that shit at a drive-thru.
And like then that. You ask them what that foreign film is about. It's, about two people falling in love.
A hero's journey. Don't give me that fucking bullshit about, it's a hero's journey. Nah, you just watch the movies just so you can be with your fucking bolo tie or whatever the fuck you're wearing and just be like, yeah, you know, I'm ironic. I have a corgi dog and, you know, I like cultural things. I like things outside of America. Konnichiwa. Fuck out of here, man. Get out of here. Just, can I not enjoy this? It gets me going a little bit. It gets me going because it's like that shit happens like more than you think. And for what? For what reason? Can I not enjoy American things? No. I do like foreign movies, but I'm not willing to like wait for like to ask somebody, oh, what's your favorite movie? And then as soon as they say their favorite movie, they go, watch me put some shit on them. Boom, boom, boom. It's like fucking playing Yu-Gi-Oh cards and shit. Like, oh, this is my trump card. You activate my trump. It's like, it's fucking tiresome, yo. And people do that shit a lot. A fucking lot. Especially if you go to, like, independent, film festivals and stuff like that. Oh, man. If pretentiousism was, like... can get thick like fucking air, there'll be dead bodies because you wouldn't be able to breathe. But hey, I love going to film festivals. I love going to them.
Do you think there is a horror franchise that should be turned into a TV series?
Oof. Not a franchise, but it's something that we were talking about recently. The Faculty. I would like to see The Faculty as maybe not like something long, not long term. I'm not talking about like three seasons, four seasons, but a limited series run. I can see The Faculty being like maybe 11 episodes.
That's good.
11 episodes run, and it's just like a short series. Boom. Straight to the point. I can definitely see that shit. An alien, they take over little kids. A drug dealer who's on campus ends up kind of being the joining forces with the nerd, and kind of like basically the faculty was kind of like Breakfast Club, because they had like every genre of character that you find at a school, and they were joining forces just so they can go against the alien threat. It was pretty good. And they had Jon Stewart in it too. It was dope. But I tell you one thing, I think we said it before. If that teacher was to come to me saying that, oh, she wanted to like drive my car.
Oh, the one that was played by Famke Janssen,
And said that she wanted to get on, is your car stick and stuff like that? I would have been crumbling. You know, the little, you just laughing. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. But you acting wild. And then, bro, remember when she jumped into his car when he was trying to drive away? And then she just looked up, like she threw her hair up. And you were like, she said some crazy shit to him. And it's over for me. It was over for me. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
In the beginning of the movie when she's nerdy, he tells her, like, oh, what is it that you need? Do you need to get laid? I'm also selling condoms. I got condoms that are cherry flavored. Later in the movie when she's sexy, he goes, can I help you with something? She's like, oh, I'm looking for something cherry flavored. I remember, like, as a kid, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, dude, that's something that, like, you would drop shit.
Like, you started, your voice starts breaking. You're like,
That shit was, like, wild. Wild. What about you? What horror movie do you think should be turned into a series?
But the only problem, though, is that this last season of True Detective kind of gave off that vibe a little bit. But I think The Thing, like the people out in the...
Yo, I'll tell you one thing. That's one movie that I've seen it like 3 times. And every time I watch it, I'm like, I'm never going to watch this fucking movie again.
Or how about like They Live?
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. Yeah.
And make the it thing more... make it like action.
Mm-hmm. So, but when would the series start? Will it just be, will it take place of the whole movie itself? Or would it be like the movie already happened? Would it be like a continuation of the movie? Like, would the series be a continuation of the movie? Or would it be like a retelling of the actual movie itself?
I think I would rather do a retelling of the movie, but just expand it more, add more in between everything that's going on.
I have to admit, that movie was... the story was like, it was like, get to it. Like, get to the fucking point. We got to get to this fucking action scene. It was like they were not building up to build, like, an actual story. They were building up to the action scene. Like, we got to get to this action scene. Okay, so there's a rebel camp. They destroy it. Get to the action scene after that. Okay, now the aliens find out about the rebel camp. They find out about the thing that's in the basement. Get to the action scene. Get to the action scene. It's constantly getting to the action scene. Even when there was that whole thing about the tethering from another planet to ours, I was like, oh, shit, they're going to go more off of this.
Yeah.
They didn't. They did not, man. It was like, they didn't go off of that at all. You just find out that the woman that was supposed to be the love interest, you find out that I think she's an alien too. But I was wondering, why didn't she come up on the... I think she was like a sympathizer, like she was one of those like a pets or something like that.
I gotta watch that movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those things, and I was like, "Damn, man!" It could get real deep. I'm surprised they haven't done something with that IP at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
They should have.
So now let's get into the reason for this whole episode: mm-hmm. Best zombie movies.
Yes.
I think I'm going to list off 3. You're going to list off 3 in no order.
No particular order. We're going to go one for one?
Yeah.
Pop up? Okay. All right. So you want to go first?
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind, one that really stayed with me after I saw the movie. I had to watch it again. I had to watch the behind the scenes. I had to watch all the stuff that went behind it was 28 Days Later with Cillian Murphy, directed by Danny Boyle. The movie itself... to me, felt like one of the most realistic, one of the most believable zombie movies. It wasn't that far-fetched, the fact that it was all caused by rage. Now that we have social media, you see people raging and just doing the most realistic, like, or most ridiculous shit to each other just based off of rage. And that's really what the movie's about, that, you know, the rage is so high that it can literally control your mind and alter it, and then you just want to cause death and destruction. A lot of the shots of Cillian Murphy walking the empty streets of London really stuck with me, because the movie is an independent movie. It had a very low budget. They shot it with, like, little shitty digital cameras that were, like, $100 each. And yet it just felt like you felt like this guy really was alone, isolated in London. And how they did that was they would shut down the street for, like, a minute, put a whole bunch of different camera angles, and tell him, like, all right, walk. And then just shoot it from different angles to make it seem bigger than it really was. And then they would go, all right, cut, and then, like, let traffic go through again. And the fact that they were able to accomplish that on such a minimum budget, to me, was awesome. The acting performances were great. There were some scenes, and I love when directors do this, when they accomplish so much with so little. One of the best scenes in the movie was when they're in the tunnel driving. They get a flat tire and they have to change the tire, and you just see in the distance the shadows of the zombies running towards them, and they're like, oh shit, we gotta go. But they didn't have a car jack, so they had to, like, physically lift the car while the guy had to remove the tire. And you just see the shadows of the zombies in the distance getting bigger and bigger along the walls, meaning that they were getting closer and closer. And the zombies in this movie run, they sprint. So that, and all it was, they were just playing with shadows. They were using shadows to build suspense. No CGI, nothing crazy that looked unrealistic. It was literally just them using shadows to their advantage. Great movie. It spawned a great sequel. Even though it was a different director, they still kept the same vibe. Jeremy Renner was in the sequel, right?
The second one, yeah.
28 Weeks Later.
He played, what Jeremy Renner does. He plays a military guy who is a badass. I mean, he died the most heroic way possible.
Yeah.
It was another car scene where he had to push the car. And then, but he wasn't running away from zombies. He was running away from people with flamethrowers.
That's what it was.
And then while he was pushing the car, they fucking lit his ass up. And you know what I thought when I saw that scene? He's okay.
No, he's not.
No, he ain't, man. No, he did that fucking the walk drop thing. I was like, oh no. Dude, that movie was crazy, man.
Yeah, man. Both of those movies were intense. And it just changed how I viewed zombies at that point. The fact that Cillian Murphy ends up actually raging himself, and one of the infected sees him as like, you're one of us, and leaves him alone. And all it was just he was just fucking killing these soldiers with his bare hands. And that's why the zombie was confused. That right there changed my whole perception of what a zombie movie is. What about you, Pat?
The movie that I'm going to pick is Night of the Creeps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that movie. It has one of the most iconic lines in that movie. The whole concept of you're about to go to prom. You dress to the nines, and then out of nowhere, this prom date. Now you gotta join forces with everybody else so you can, like, kill off this alien infesting, alien invasion, was it?
Yeah, it was like worms.
Yeah, it was worms
that
were
from a meteor, I think.
Yeah, that would just jump into your body and stuff like that. And I remember looking at slugs differently after I watched that fucking movie, like, because those things would just zip around and shit like that. And it was an amazing movie, one of the best movies that to this day that I once a year I have to watch it. I really enjoy that movie.
Next up, I would for me, and it's shockingly enough, it's a Zack Snyder movie, The Dawn of the Dead, his version of Dawn of the Dead. And the reason
why is shocking enough, man. He makes good movies, man. 300 is a good movie.
I didn't even know Zack Snyder directed that movie. I went to the movie theaters to see it. I really enjoyed it. I think he did actually grasp the point of the first movie. It's so crazy. The concept of the movie is that these people find refuge in a mall. The zombies naturally gravitate towards the mall. George Romero, who created the Night of the Living Dead series, said that the reason for that concept is that even when we're dead, we're so consumed by materialism that even when we're zombies, we gravitate towards the mall. And I was like, holy shit. And that's, and Zack Snyder did portray that in the movie.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a zombie apocalypse, but they're enjoying themselves in this mall. And they're like taking advantage of all the stuff now in the stores and they're having fun with it. And I think that movie stuck with me a little bit because just like similar to Pat, like I worked in a shopping mall one time and late at night when I would be closing up, I used to think about like, what if there was a zombie apocalypse? Would I have my... my plan of exit. And dude, I am not kidding. I used to think about that all the time.
Yeah. I remember just asking people, like, you said, yo, what mall would be the best mall to bunker down in? And, you know, everybody, we have a mall that's over here called Sawgrass Mall. Everybody said no to that fucking mall. It's too big. The fucking, the square foot to like secure is way too much. So we wouldn't do that. Aventure Mall, it's kind of big, but it's manageable. Especially if you have a team, it's manageable. Pines, yeah, it's just one strip. It's just one strip like this, so you can most definitely do it. And yeah, I mean, like those are the conversations that you constantly have, especially at night, man. When you're leaving around like 1 o'clock in the morning, and you just see that there's nobody here, say, man, can I run through these things? I say, I don't know. The escalators will be off. I said, maybe if I get to the top and they're trying to chase me, I could just hit the button and just have them go down. So every day they're trying to run up, I said, I could just funnel them through there. Just keep on stabbing them as they try to climb up.
I remember where I worked in the mall, there was one time the air conditioning wasn't working. So we had an electrician, like an AC repair person come in to show. And they showed me where the service elevator was to ride to the roof. And I actually rode it and was on the roof of the building. And I was like, so this is what I would do if there was a zombie apocalypse. Like, I was like, get actually kept that in, like to mind. And I was like, okay, now I know
how to get up here
in case something were to go down. And I was always like glad that my job was right next to the exit of the parking garage. Mm. So I could just quick escape, or if I need to lock the doors quick, I could lock the doors quick. I don't know why that movie I just always thought of that movie every time I went to work.
Yeah.
So weird.
No, the movie's it's a good movie. Those zombies were running. I think they were running faster than 28 Days Later yeah. Zombies, man. For some reason, they seem like they were like hell bent. Even it doesn't matter what size you were, too. Remember that the heavy lady who had like something happened to her eye,
yeah,
when she was on the bed, bro. When she got up, bro, when she did that little like on her back jump up like this, I was like, yo. It's a wrap. I don't even know why we're still doing this, man.
Bro, there was a zombie that had no legs. Remember that he was like,
yeah, doing this,
and then he like jumps. Like, dude, they're relentless, man. It doesn't matter if they're missing their bottom torso. Like, yeah, they're still coming at you full speed.
Yeah, and you would think that your heart can't take that kind of pressure, but apparently it can. Apparently it can. And bro, I thought that Vin Rames was going to turn into a zombie in that movie. You remember when he was fighting that zombie and fell into the water?
Oh yeah, because he cut himself.
Yeah,
I thought that was supposed to be like a sign, like oh,
I'm like oh shit,
he's infected.
This motherfucker is gonna turn into one. I'm like this guy,
the biggest, strongest one out of all of them.
He's the one who's been saving everybody over here. Was he a security guard?
Yeah,
he has some sketchy backgrounds. You could tell that there was something about him that they never said in the movie. You know, Zack Snyder does that shit a lot. He gives people, like, these backgrounds, and he just wants us to just figure it out, maybe, like, buying a DVD or something like that. By the way, the Blu-ray DVD for that movie, it's really, really good. There's two commentaries, I believe. There's one with Zack Snyder in it, and there's one that has the cast in it. And on top of that, there's short stories about the guy who's at the gun shop. Like, I think it's like 15 minutes, and you see that he has a home video of everything that he was going through and everything. It's pretty good.
And I love the fact that there was that montage of them enjoying themselves in the mall.
Yeah.
And they played Down with the Sickness, but it was like a...
Yeah.
It was like a Frank Sinatra style.
Yeah, the crooning. Like, it was the crooning. Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty good, too, man. Damn, that was awesome. My movie is going to be The Crazies.
that's a good one.
Yeah, that one really got me. That one was, it was like, it rather than it being in a big city, it was in a small town that everybody knew each other, and they people were just going crazy. But I haven't seen it in so long, but I remember that I really enjoyed this movie just based off of the scene that, I mean, they turned into a poster. It was the guy with the pitchfork who was just going around killing people who were tied to beds. And he was just stabbing them. And the cool thing is that you wouldn't see him actually stabbing. All you would see just the bottom of the beds. And you see the pitchfork going through. And there was somebody who was at the end of the room who was trying to get out because they weren't they didn't go crazy. And they saw that he was doing it, but they were trying to be quiet so he wouldn't rush over to him and kill him. And you just see him like trying to break out and stuff like that. It was like, oh, fuck. It was a gruesome scene. One of the... Yeah, that was pretty dope. What about you?
I definitely got to watch that movie again. Mm-hmm. My third one would be Shaun of the Dead. Mm. Shaun of the Dead, just because that's another movie that stuck with me over the years. The fact that you can turn something so horrific into something so funny and comedic, and it still works. It still... like follows all the rules of a traditional zombie movie, but yet makes it funny. I think all these other movies like Zombieland and all these like other comedies, I think would never have happened if Shaun of the Dead didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think that movie like definitely paved the way for all those comedic zombie movies. Yeah,
I could definitely see that. Shaun of the Dead was like, I didn't see it in theaters. That was one of those movies that, I only reason I watched that movie is because someone brought it up, like later on, like oh, you gotta watch this shit. And I watched it at home, and I'm like, dog, this is the dopest.
And that movie also introduced me to Edgar Wright.
Yeah. And
after that, I saw Hot Fuzz, and then Scott Pilgrim, and I was like, okay, I'm in.
Like this guy gets it.
Yeah.
He's making movies for the fans. It's fucking awesome. My last movie is going to be Slither. That movie was made by James Gunn. And, you know, it's just like Night of the Creeps. It has something to do with worms, but these worms are a lot faster. And they shoot out a little toxin needle towards you that numbs you. And then they go into your body and stuff like that and then control you and stuff like that. It's more gruesome than A Night of the Creeps. So if you just want a part two to Night of the Creeps, this movie is it. If you're a fan of Night of the Creeps, this movie right here is the perfect part two to it.
When that movie came out, I originally thought that was supposed to be a remake.
Yeah, I thought it was too, but it was totally different.
So the movies that we named are all... It seems like they fit that tradition of, you know, a zombie film. However, it's like it begs to ask the question of, like, what does it take to make a zombie movie? Like, what are the characteristics? And can other movies be considered horror zombie movies even though they don't fit that traditional template of it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for a zombie movie, the first zombie movie to ever come out actually didn't have anything to do with dead people. It was like people under mind control. George Romero was the person who introduced us to the living dead. You know, what are the factors needed to make a zombie movie? Like, mm-hmm. One, mind control. Does it need to have a horde? Yeah. Or can it just be one person? Like, there's a romantic zombie movie that came out called Warm Bodies.
Yeah.
It was just, like, one guy, right, that comes back to life?
Nah, the rest of them do, too.
Oh, yeah?
Because they start to do, like, human things, and they all started to, like, have emotions and stuff. I forgot that funny comedian was in that movie. I don't know. He does a lot of Warm Bodies.
And do they have to be cannibalistic?
Yes.
So what would be a movie that wasn't tradition, that it didn't follow that tradition of zombie films, but could technically be considered a Rob zombie Cordy movie?
Is what I was talking about.
Okay.
Rob Cordy. Yeah. What movies would follow that? Well, we said Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, he comes back to life.
He does come back to life, and it's just one zombie. It's not a whole bunch of them. He comes back to life, and he does kill people in a slashing way. He's not a cannibal. He's not under mind control. I mean, unless he is, because he constantly hears his mom. He hears his mom, and his mom, she's the reason why he came back to life.
He's definitely the most emotional zombie because like he's doing it out of emotion.
Yeah, he's emo.
And I wonder, did he go? Because in the first Friday the 13th movie, it's actually the mom who's killing all the teenagers.
Yeah.
And the second one, when he comes back, is he killing them for revenge on him or the fact that they killed his mom?
Nah, because he kills the person who kills his mom in the first movie, in the second movie, in the beginning. He kills her. Like, he gets her the fuck up out of there. So I think it's just for fun now. He kills just to kill.
Yeah, dude.
At that point, it's like, you said that he's emotional, and he is. He was emotionally scarred. You telling me that this guy was walking around camp? Walking around camp being the head archer, right? You know, killing all these arrows and stuff like that, and people were still making fun of him and all that other kind of stuff.
Was that a detail like yeah. of his character?
Like he was an archer. He was good at tying bows and all the other kind of stuff.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
That's why there was another Friday the 13th movie that came out. I think in like early 2000s. I want to say it was in the early 2000s that a Friday the 13th movie came out. And that's why he was good at it. He shot somebody off of a boat, boom, right in the eye when they were on the boat.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and he used to set up traps and stuff like that. It was this is right after the like they had like, you know, Jason goes to space. This is after he went to space. Yeah. They just rebooted that whole thing. They were like, yo, let's reboot this shit. And they just had Friday the 13th, and they went to Camp Crystal Lake, and that was the fastest that I started seeing people die. Usually in the Friday the 13th movies, like. There's some type of, you know, like, oh, we're having fun. We're at the campgrounds. You start to see, like, some type of voyeuristic stuff. Like, you know, you start, but you see in the bushes kind of stuff. You don't see anybody really die. But in this movie, they make it to the camp. They get on the boat. As soon as the boom, first person dies on the boat. Then somebody who was off the boat tries to get on the boat. And then Jason's right on there. And people just start dying. Quickly,
bro. What if they were to reset the Jason franchise instead of making a camp like a regular like summer camp? It's the Boy Scouts, and that's how he learns his skills from the Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. The other Boy Scouts bully him. He dies and comes back, and it's like the Boy Scouts had to fight this evil spirit, and they had to use their skills. It's kind of like Lord of the Flies and shit.
They start shaving off branches to make a knife. That would be pretty fucking dope. I like that. Start shaving off their branches to make like little tools and stuff like that. But here's the thing. Thinking about how Hollywood thinks, it's like, then how can we show like young sex? They gotta have like sex inside
virgins.
Yeah, that because you know the people who have sex in Friday the 13th movies are always the one that dies.
There's a Girl Scout camp nearby.
Yeah,
and they sneak out at night.
You know what? It'd be funny if the Girl Scout camp makes fun of the Boy Scout camp because you know the Boy Scouts ain't got cookies, but the Girl Scouts do, kind of shit.
That's the code. Where are you going? I'm gonna go get some cookies.
Get some cookies. Oh man. I'm looking forward to the TV show that's the Friday the 13th TV show. It should be good.
We talked about The Faculty. Faculty, I think, was a really good one that you brought up about a movie that, even though it's an alien invasion, the fact that all these people are under this mind control, they're not who they were at one point, and they're just spreading this, you know. It wasn't necessarily like an infection or anything, but it is almost like a virus if you think about it. I think the faculty definitely, since you brought it up, that disturbing behavior, which is also like altered mind control and all of that.
Yeah.
You brought up They Clone Tyrone.
Yeah, I brought up They Clone Tyrone because when we were talking about that, well, what does it take to have to make it a zombie movie. And we said that Clone Tyrone is more like Manchurian Candidate, which is correct. It is more like Manchurian Candidate, but it also does fall into the category of zombie because they were mind controlling people inside the clubs and strip clubs. There was a horde that was chasing Tyrone. What else happened? There was no cannibalism that was being done, but there was still like 2 out of 3. It's still like good enough as a zombie movie. Like there's a zombie premise. I think the same thing that we're doing is the same thing that people don't like when we do when we are talking about like how Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Yeah. It fits your criteria because you're making the criteria. That's why. But it's like, yeah, but it still goes in line with it. We're not saying that these things are steadfast zombie movies, but they need to be mentioned as, you know, these are pretty good movies that could be categorized in zombie movies. We're not saying that this should be your first pick for zombie movies, but, like, I mean, let's, with all due respects, you know what I'm saying? Like, these shits are pretty fucking solid good movies. And on top of that, just watch it. If you watch it in the eye of a zombie movie, I think you'll see it. They Clone Tyrone makes a excellent case for why it should be a zombie movie. I mean, shit, even Weekend at Bernie's Part 2.
Yeah.
Is technically a zombie movie.
It comes back to life. It
comes back to life with music.
And it was because of a voodoo doctor, like a witch doctor.
Yeah.
It was like a voodoo spell that brings him back to life.
Oh, man. You know, I haven't seen Weekend at Bernie's in so long. I don't even know how far it was from, like, the first one to the second one.
Oh, it's so far. Really? Yeah. The first one, it was like a money scheme, and there's like all this corporate espionage or whatever, and the dude dies, and they're just like trying to play it off. The second one was just like, oh, let's see how far we can go with these antics of this dead body, like walking around just to conga music.
Jesus
and
Jesus Christ, how many weekends did they have?
I think it was just two.
There's only 2 weekends at Bernie's?
Yeah.
I thought it was probably like 3 weeks. Were these weeks like back to back?
No, it was just a weekend. No. The second weekend was, I think it was like a couple years later.
Only two. I can't fucking believe it. Dude, I haven't seen these movies in so long. They're on Hulu. Okay, that's good to know. Were these movies any good?
No, they're fucking terrible. But it's like those movies that you watch when you're a kid.
Yeah.
It's on TV. You watch it. It's stupid. It's cheesy. But you watch it because it's fun.
You know a movie that makes me think of that? It's the movie that had a... Damn, I forgot its name. Multiplicity?
Multiplicity with Michael Keaton?
Yeah, that movie. For some reason, his movies were always on... Like
Multiplicity is better than Weekend at Bernie's.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, that movie had heart. Like it's about a dad. He wants to be with his kids. Like it definitely had more heart than this. This was really fucking goofy.
That dude, Michael Keaton had some bangers for like family bangers. I have to admit, I'm gonna give him his flowers right now. He had that movie, Multiplicity, but he also had another movie where he had to be a stay at home dad,
Mr. Mom. That was the reason why so many people were furious when they announced that he was going to play Batman, because the joke was Mr. Mom is going to play Batman.
I was way too young to fight. Yeah. I mean, you would think that at this point that anybody who's going to play like an action movie, even though they've never done an action movie, like you would think that people would just give him a shot. But, you know, we as humans, we have like short time memories. Like, we forget history, like, as soon as we pass right by it. Like, they did the same thing to Bruce Willis when he was trying to do Die Hard. They did the same thing to him. They did the same thing to, Christian Bale for Batman. They did the same thing for...
Christian Bale, I think, was fine. It was Heath Ledger as the Joker. Because it was like, 10 Things I Hate About You, that's going to be the
Heath
Joker.
Ledger, and... Robert Pattinson, they did it to him. They couldn't see him as Batman.
I'm not gonna lie, I was one of those people though.
Mr. Twinkle.
I was Mr. Twinkle. and then the movie came out, and I was like, "Hey, I like this. It's not bad."
You know, the thing that made me think that maybe he can be Batman. It's the movie that he did with William Dafoe.
Okay, The Lighthouse.
Yeah, The Lighthouse. I was like, you know what? I can give it to him. And I'm trying to think of any other person that they gave that they were like, nah, there's no possible way. That he, you know, I'm not really sure, but maybe they did that to who's the dude who played Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman.
I have a feeling that they did that to him, but I really wasn't in the know around that time because
I was kind of nervous with Ben Affleck
as Batman,
because all I thought about was like movies like Good Will Hunting and stuff like that, and I was like, that Boston accent is gonna be, but then I saw it and I was like, oh no, but he killed it.
Nah,
he actually did a really good Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he did a real fucking good job. As a Batman, it just sucks that it brought him to a place that he never wanted to go again. Yeah. Like, you know, he started drinking and stuff like that. But, you know, I guess there's something to say about these method actors. They can't just read a goddamn script. They need to act it.
And then the person that I thought was going to be good and ended up being terrible was George Clooney. He smiled in almost every scene. Like, he was just like, my parents died. They were brutally murdered. He's just like, why are you charming even at the wrong moments? Like, it was weird. I don't know.
Are you smiling under that mask? Are you smiling at me right now? Oh my god, man. This is a serious moment, man. You're hanging me off of a building and you're smiling.
But I think another movie that never gets like mentioned when it comes to zombie movies, but it's definitely a zombie movie, Pet Sematary 1 and 2.
Yes. Those are most definitely zombie movies.
Literally come back to life. They're evil. They're killing. You can't like reason with them. Like, they're just set to kill. And honestly, out of zombie movies, it's the most chilling of kills too.
Yeah.
Because even though they came back to life, they still have like their personality with them. And they use their personality to the kill. So, like, you know, the crooked sheriff or whatever in the second movie, who was a piece of shit, comes back. And, dude, when he grabs that one kid, throws him on the ground, and uses the dirt bike wheel.
Yeah. I was like, man, you could have done anything. You could have done anything to make it quicker.
You could have just strangled him. Just
yeah. Dude, recently I watched Hunger Games for the first time, and there was a scene that Cadmus got fucking strangled, dude. Was that real? It felt real. It was like
I never saw the movies.
Oh, never mind.
I never saw the movies.
We're not talking about it.
You can talk about it.
No, but you won't know what I'm talking about. There's a scene where she's getting choked, right? And you see the red go into her eyes, man. Like, the dude, like, it felt, yo, to me, it felt like if Tarantino would have got off on this shit, dude. It was like, yo, this shit looks real. Because you see her face, like, turn fucking purple. And her eyes turn, like, fucking red. And he just, like, fucking choking her. And it looks so real because, you know, like, he's moving her, like, that kind of shit. I'm like, damn, this shit is really fucking intense. And then I think it was Catching Fire Part 1. It was at the end of it. And then She's not able to talk because, you know, he crushed her fucking larynx a little bit. Or just, they're just swollen and stuff like that. So she's not able to talk. And then you find out that, I think his name was Peeta. He got brainwashed and shit like that. Not saying that that's a zombie movie. Not saying that it just reminded me that, yeah, you could have choked the shit out of people. People get choked all the time. Unwillingly, is what I'm saying.
For those who don't know, Pat is now a Hunger Games fanatic.
I'm not a Hunger Games fanatic. I just was like, I gotta see what the hell's going on. I gotta see what the hell's popping with this Hunger Games.
Overall, yay or nay?
Nay. Nay to that movie. Nay. I told you, like, out of every... Remember when I saw Harry Potter, right? I was like, yo, this shit is dope. I would really like them to do, like, a series based off of Harry Potter books.
Which they are,
which is fucking dope. I'm really into it. But this movie right here, I saw it in its entirety. It took me about 2 weeks to watch it. Harry Potter only took me, I think it was like a week or two. But I was watching it with like, I was watching it with you guys. I think it was during like quarantine that I was watching it. So it was like, we had like set times to watch it. This, I was just like, just going off of just pure energy. And I watched the first one by itself. I was like, all right, watch the second one again. I watched the second one. And when I started to watch the third one, I was like, yo, this shit, I'm starting to fade. I was already fading in the second one, but the third one, it really got me. I was like, yo, this ain't it. This ain't it.
And did you see the new one that came out?
I actually saw that one. That one is way better.
Oh, shit.
Way better than what I just saw. And I saw Maze Runner, saw the first one. I'm out. I'm not watching. I'm not watching that Maze Runner movie. It's done. I even tried to look up like what the hell is the Maze Runner about, and I found a little fun fact that the lead actor got ran over by a car on the train scene when he was doing his own stunts, and he got ran over by a car doing a train scene, and then they had to stop production indefinitely for like a year while he recovers.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know that either, but he got really fucked up. Like, there's a car scene that he's supposed to be chasing a train, and I guess that must have been the scene that he got, like he was underneath the car for, like, a mile or something like that. It's bad.
For a mile?
I don't know. How's he alive? No, but, you know, it's going, like, what you call it, speed. Normal. Yeah, like 15 miles an hour kind of thing. Now, 15 miles is a long time. To go for fucking a mile, I'm lying somewhere here. Something that I'm saying is not making any sense. Maybe he got like... maybe.
Dude, he's stuck in there for a couple hours.
Let's give him... maybe he got dragged for like, I don't know, 10 feet or something. Let me see.
Bro, a mile and 10 feet are two radically different things.
Let me see. Maze Runner... car drag. I don't know if that's gonna come up. Oh, okay. In 2016, Dylan O'Brien, star of Maze Runner, was dragged from the top of a moving car and hit by another vehicle while filming the stunt in British Columbia for Maze Runner: The Death Curse. O'Brien suffered a concussion, facial fracture, and laceration in the incident, which some say were caused by a safety harness that wasn't long enough. Oof. The accident occurred on March 27, 2016. Nope, they don't say how long it was. The video that I saw was saying that let's give him 50 feet.
50 feet.
Yeah, let's give him 50. Because remember, it said that he fell off of a car and then he got ran over by another car that was in the back. The other car that he got ran over, it had to be the camera car. That's what I'm thinking. And they didn't see him. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Oh! You gotta be like, oh, fuck. What was that whole thing like? Say, like, damn, should we just put him out of his misery?
Or like in Community, pretend you're asleep. Pretend you're
asleep. Like, oh my god, yeah, man. So yeah, they were. I don't know how long he got dragged, but they were out for it. They fucked him. They got him good, man. But yeah, man, I think that's been our episode.
Yeah.
Let me play us out with some, go back to our gospel. All right. Yeah, it will do. So, yes, that's been our episode. I've been Pat.
And this is Kev.
And we've been us, and y'all been y'all. Hope everybody had a ball. Catch you next week. Peace.